All right, welcome to the Free Stretch here on JoeBucksFan.com, brought to you by Bill Curry Ford. I am Bobby Fenton. Happy New Year. This is the first show of the official league year of the 2019 season. And a lot has happened, obviously, with the passing of that deadline, the free agency opening this past week. And obviously, you guys probably have a lot of thoughts. I have a lot of thoughts. We'll get to them on the show today. As always, if you want to get a hold of me, very easy to do. Email me, bobbygameday@yahoo.com. That's bobbygameday@yahoo.com. Or you can find me on Twitter, @BobbyGameDay. Bill Curry is Tampa's first family of Ford. They are proud to announce the nationwide lifetime warranty on new and pre-owned vehicles. You get unlimited years, unlimited miles, 10-year roadside assistance, and 1-year complimentary service. What's going on now? You know, we just flipped over the new league year in the NFL. We just flipped over the real new year only a couple of months ago, over on New Year's Eve. So the 2018s that are still at Bill Curry Ford, they want to move them out. So you're going to get a great deal on those and their brand new cars. They've got the 2019s in, obviously. They've got tons of pre-owned. You can see all of it if you just go to the website. You don't even have to leave your house or your phone. Just go to BillCurryFord.com. It's C-U-R-R-I-E. BillCurryFord.com, and you'll see everything that they have as far as the inventory. And that's with the transparent online pricing. It's all going to be right there. You get the lifetime warranty. And if you go see them in person, a mile north of Raymond James Stadium on Dale Mabry, mention Joe Bucks Fan, mention me, mention the Free Stretch, whatever, you'll get the Joe Bucks Fan discount. They've proudly served the Tampa community for 58 years now. Again, go see them in person or at BillCurryFord.com. And speaking of shopping for nice new things, with free agency the past week. Now, a week ago, we did our show, okay? And we sat here, I sat here, and talked about how we already knew, and this is what I don't understand about some of the reactions. Not that everybody listens to my show, but if you're a Bucks fan, you all ought to have known this in advance. We sat here and talked about how we already knew, all right? It wasn't going to be some bonanza. They re-signed Donovan Smith. We talked at length about that last week. DeMar Dotson as well. So we said basically, the Bucks in 2019, if they're going to be better, are going to be better because, one, there's a new coaching staff that's supposed to be better, however much faith you want to put in that turnaround. And two, just sometimes the players you have are better. One, because they're well-coached, but two, because they're a year older, whatever number of reasons. And so that's what we said a week ago. We already knew this. The Bucks had very little cap room. And since then, some moves have been made, both coming in and leaving. And we're going to talk about all those today. So then free agency actually happens. Things open up. And Kwan goes, which was not a surprise. Adam Humphries goes, which was not a surprise. DeSean Jackson isn't a free agent. He gets traded, but essentially the same thing. They get a sixth-round pick, so he goes, which was definitely not a surprise. And just to recap everything that's happened, those three guys have gone. Adarius Taylor also leaving. Brian Anger released, the punter. Coming back in, it's product in, product out. What's your net loss or gain, right? That's what it's all about. Coming in, Brashad Perriman from Cleveland, who's a decent wide receiver whose career, I think, is on the upswing, is on the rise. And as much as I love Adam Humphries, and good coaches find ways to make use of good players no matter what, but Brashad Perriman, I'm not saying he's as good as Humphries. He's more the type of receiver that Bruce Arians can use. And then Deion Buchanan from Arizona, which is a very good value signing, and people roll their eyes, oh, whatever, I don't want value signing it. I don't want to hear it. He could be pretty good. Not a huge guy, more of a safety linebacker type hybrid, but he can play linebacker, and they get him for what? Like, what was it, $1.5 million? So he comes in. Oh, and then Bradley Pinion, who's the punter, or was the punter for San Francisco, was drafted the same year Jameis Winston was drafted in the fifth round that year. So we get him instead of Anger, saving a little money there, and I don't think you'll see much difference in the performance of the punting position. And so that's what goes, what went out and what came in. Okay, fine. Overall, not a huge, you could talk about the net loss of losing guys like, losing Humphries and DeSean Jackson. Say what you want about Jackson, we've said it before, but he made a difference on the receiving corps when he was invested and committed and playing, okay? So that's a loss, it is. And obviously Humphries is too. Brashad Perriman will help. but they lose some there. Kwan, I love him. You know, the reaction this whole week, though, the fans, I mean, and this is what I'm getting at. You sit back, you take all this in. None of it's surprising. We pretty much knew it was all going to happen. I know people like to complain. I know people love to dump on the Bucks, and they're not always wrong to do that. But it seems like they wait for a reason to do it. And then when things happen that are totally predictable, totally understandable given the current conditions, and just 100% what we thought we were going to see. Oh my God, there go the Bucks again. Typical Bucks. I can't believe they let Kwan. You know, I mean, people are like pouring out cans of, you know, whatever they do. What do people do? Pour out like bottles of alcohol. I don't know how the whole pour it out thing started, but people are doing that. And I love Kwan. Like, listen, the game he played in Atlanta after his brother died, I mean, that, just like anybody else, that touched me. That was an awesome thing to see. And overall, he was a good, productive player for the Bucks in a lot of way. I mean, I'm not saying he was nothing, but $1 million. You see the money he got from San Francisco? 1,000,000%. Go for it, man. And congrats to him. I love him. But don't give me this, oh, that's the typical Bucks way. They let guys like that go. Somebody else is willing to pay him, and we're not. I wouldn't have paid him that much money if I had salary cap room. I really wouldn't have. That was fine. And I mean, again, I'm not saying the Bucks are in a great place right now. They weren't. But people have been acting like something. Like, it's amazing. We hired Bruce Arians a month ago or whatever it was, a month and a half ago. And when that happened, everybody was so happy. Everybody was so positive. Everybody was so, I mean, again, people are very reactionary. Whatever's the, you know, 6 inches in front of their face, that's what they're reacting to. A lot of times people don't step back and look at the big picture. They get too high for the highs. They get too low for the lows. Hiring Bruce Arians the ensuing days after that was the grail. Everybody's excited. 2019 is going to be awesome. The Bucks are finally going to get back to respectability, on and on and on. And then nothing changes. Then free agency comes. People that we thought would leave, leave. That we knew even back then that they're probably going to leave. And people freak out. Now all of a sudden, you know, we suck again. We're nothing again. We're a poorly run organization again. And I'm not saying that's not true. I'm just saying nothing changed from 1 week to the next, okay? If you thought we were a poorly run organization 3 weeks ago and you still think it now, fine. But if you were fired up all 3 weeks ago and now you're upset, I don't understand that. Because again, people are all about optics. All the optics don't look good. We lose all these guys we bring in. We're shopping in the bargain aisle. Martin Fennelly wrote a good column in the Tribune this week, okay? I tweeted it out. If you go to my Twitter feed, at Bobby Game Day, you can see it. But you can see it a million times other places, too. The headline was, only the Bucks could be bad and broke at the same time. And it goes on to detail how poorly things were handled in 2018, leading to where the Bucks had to be this week. And I won't read you the column, but Fennelly talked about, you know, at the 2018 trade deadline last year, and we said this on the show over and over again, the whole theme of last season was, we suck, we know we suck, we should already be getting ready for future seasons. I said it on this show, this isn't revisionist history, I said it on this show. That was the theme, we should be doing something to get ready for the future, but then we got Dirk Cutter here trying to save his job, Jason Light trying to save his job, and they are going to go balls out to do whatever they can to scrounge in even one extra win. If they can go 6-10 instead of 5-11, they'll do it if they have to. They're just going to just scratch and claw at the expense of anything in the future just to maintain their gigs in the here and now. And that's what happened last year. And to a degree, it's understandable because, again, they don't care about the future of the franchise if they're not part of it. I mean, if you were going to be somewhere for 10 years and I said, hey, take care of this thing that you're in charge of, whatever it is for 10 years, you might start thinking about not just this year but other years. But what if I said, hey, you don't get it done this year, you're out. Would you give a crap about anything 5 years from now? No. So I understand. I mean, I'm not trying to fault Dirk Cutter and Jason Light. It takes, you know, overall leadership, overseeing, supervision. It takes that because those guys are going to do what they thought they had to do at the time. And it hurt the Bucks tremendously, quite honestly. Fennelly is right. Like, Fennelly was right about that. And he writes, and I'm, again, I'm not going to read the whole column, but he writes, It's the Bucks who, despite going 5-11, have the cap problems of a playoff team. No money. They had like $2 million in cap space when Monday broke. This is, you know, last Monday, the beginning of free agency. Less than almost any NFL team. It's one thing to be terrible. It's quite another to be terrible and expensive. But the Bucks pulled it off. So, if you look at what the Bucks could have done last, we can do a whole show on what they could have done last year. But Fennelly kind of put it in perspective. He said, the real story is the Bucks didn't do everything they needed to do at the trade deadline last season to prepare for Monday. They have now freed up $10 million by trading DeSean Jackson, but they could have and should have shed him last season for maybe a third-round pick to a playoff contender, like, you know, anybody who needed a speed receiver. He, same thing he said with Gerald McCoy, Jason Pierre-Paul. And it's true. I mean, we, again, I'm not going to relive all of 2018, but the biggest mistakes made then were both what we're talking about now, not making moves with an eye toward this, and how could Dirk Cutter have done that? How could he have justified that personally when he knew he might get fired? I mean, if 5-11 is no different, really, than 2-14 or 3-13 or whatever. But what if he had gone 2-14 or 3-13 instead of 5-11? You know, would Jason Light have still been here? Who knows? You know, you don't know. Maybe to, when you're in that mentality that those guys were in last year, even one win matters. Like, just find a way to freaking win that week. You're trying to save your job. So, again, I get it. Which is why, you know, people want to rip this one person or that one person. You know, perhaps if the Bucks had let go of Dirk Cutter before last season, like many thought they should, this rebuild could have gotten underway more quickly. It wouldn't be Bruce Arians, who's the coach now, or anything like that. I don't know who it would be. But these are things that are all great in hindsight. Again, all you can do now. See, here's my thing in life. This is something I say this all the time, and I'm not a life coach. I've hardly got everything figured out. But there's this one thing that I think I've got figured out. This is this one thing that I think I could give advice to people on. I would never give advice to people in general on how to live life the right way because, again, I'm far from perfect. I don't have it all figured out. But this one thing I think I've got figured out. We can't dwell on what happened anymore, okay? Whether Dirk Cutter did what he did was right or wrong or justified or not or Jason Light or the Glazers or anybody is over now. What you have to be, and I know nobody uses it anymore because Google Maps is the big thing, but I just think of it as from a few years ago. You know, Garmin, you know, the map app that, you know, just directs you, just same as Google Maps does now, gives you directions. You, the little lady's voice, you plug in where you are, it can do the GPS, then you plug in the address where you're going, and then you hit start, and this little lady talks out of your phone or out of your Bluetooth speaker in your car and says, turn right in 500 feet. You know, what happens when you're coming up on that turn in 500 feet and you just blow past it, make a huge mistake, or you turn left instead of right and just blow the entire route. She had this perfect route calculated for you using all these algorithms to get the exact perfect route to get you, even saving 15 seconds if she can. She's got it all mapped out. Do this and you'll get there as fast as you possibly can from this point to that point. And you blow the route, you take a wrong turn. What does she do then? You know, right? She recalculates immediately. And from there now, whatever mistake you made from that point to where you're trying to get, she gives you the fastest possible route. Okay? Be like Garmin in life. You got to, for whatever mistakes you made, whatever happened that has already happened, from whatever point you're at right now, from there now, what's the fastest way to get where you're going? So don't dwell on it. So, okay. That's what the Bucks have to do. Yeah, Martin Fennelly's right. They hosed themselves over with things that we, you know, and necessarily not even hindsight, but even back then we probably should have known, and many of us did, that they needed to be doing. But Dirk Cutter was trying to save his job, and in the process he did damage to that end goal. He did damage to our quarterback's psyche and his relationship with him, which hopefully his psyche can be repaired. I think it can be. I think it already is being repaired. He did lots of damage. And I don't mean him personally. I'm not trying to vilify Dirk Cutter anymore, but point is, here we are now, so what should the Bucks be doing right now? And I think for the most part, they've done, well, one, what they only could do. I mean, they didn't have a lot of choices, but two, I think they've done the right thing. I mean, again, no problem with Kwan going. Going to miss Humphreys, but no problem with him leaving. Jameis Winston, oh, by the way, remember that deadline we were all talking about? Nobody made a big deal of it because it's a foregone conclusion now, but his $20.9 million for the 2019 season is now fully guaranteed, as it should be. And, you know, You just got to commit to building for the future now. And I know Bruce Arians doesn't want to say that out loud, doesn't want to hear it. But honestly, if you think the Bucks are going to pull a Chicago Bears this season, and or you know pull what people think is going to be a Cleveland Browns this season, and I'm not making any predictions right now, but I would temper that. Like I would, I don't mean that in an angry way. Like, oh, we're going to suck. I just mean, you know, let's let the draft go by. Let's see what happens there. But I don't care who they draft. Nobody they draft, even if they make the best pick in the history of the intergalactic universe, nobody they draft is going to single-handedly change the fortunes of this team by, like, multiple wins. Not this year, at least. So, step back, take a deep breath, and just understand that where the Bucks are and where they want to be are two different places, and that it's going to take time to get there, and as of right now, as of the past 5 days, the steps the Bucks have taken, I think, are all good steps to get there. And they're minor steps. But if you're convinced the Bucks really are going to be a contender next year, like I said on the show last week, one, you better damn believe the coaching staff's going to make that big of a difference, and I'm not so sure that they are. And not that I don't like the coaching staff, but I'm saying, you know, if you believe the whole old phrase... Some of you know this phrase. There's an old phrase, it ain't the Jesse's, or it ain't the X's and O's, it's the Jesse's and Joe's, you know? It's not the coaching, it's the people. If you believe that, then not much is going to change. I mean, we've seen the roster, it's not going to look much different, minus a couple of people who are, you know, pretty prominent contributors from seasons past, and adding a couple people who maybe are decent, but not quite to that level. So if you think coaching can make that much of a difference, you're hanging your hat on one, that, and two, you're hanging your hat on Jameis Winston taking a big step forward and being the quarterback that we kind of have seen him maybe be here and there, but now just being that guy all the time. And that goes hand in hand with the coaching, quite honestly. But I'll say it one more time, and I heard Justin say it on his show the other day. You know, you look at this defense and just how bad it's been. Is there anybody really worth missing? I mean, again, love Kwan, love so-and-so. You want to say, oh, we miss Humphreys, we miss Deshaun because of their offense, fine. But on this defense, I'm not going to miss anybody that much. Maybe one day we can get to that point where we actually miss guys like we did back in the days when we had Rondy and Lynch and Sapp and, you know, all these guys. But right now, I mean, like crying all these crocodile tears, oh, Kwan's gone, you know. It's business, man. It happens. It's free agency. I have no issue with any of it. And speaking of the business side of it, you know, how much of it is strictly business, how much of it is personal preference? I was interested when I came across on Twitter the other day, the Monday Morning Quarterback, which is part of SI.com, but they did an anonymous agent survey, and this just interested me. Robert Klemko did the piece for MMQB. So they did an anonymous agent survey of what are the best places and worst places that free agent NFL players want to go and not go to. They did 15 NFL agents who were asked the following question, quote, if you polled your clients about the most and least desirable teams to play for, which teams do you think would end up in the top five and which would be in the bottom five? So they're asking agents to say what they think players would say they want based on their experience. This wasn't a direct player survey, but it's close enough. The agents, of course, requested anonymity so they could speak freely, and they did. And so a number of factors came up that make teams desirable or undesirable. Of course, there's, but again, independent of the money, because you're going to say, oh, what's the money? Let's say all the money's equal. Let's say it's the same term, same length, all that stuff, no matter what, because obviously that part's going to play the biggest role in what these guys do. But some of the factors that considered, you know, to be top ones for players, obviously winning culture, tradition, opportunity for playing time, income tax laws, which Florida does pretty well with. We don't have a state income tax. You know, the area of the country, the weather, all of these things, nightlife, girls, on and on and on and on and on. So, and one agent even said, a lot of players don't even look at the things that you probably think they should look at. They don't know any better. They just look at the city and the nightlife and a bunch of other stuff like that. So, obviously, without money being the main factor, I'm going to give you a second here, and you can try and guess what you think are the places that placed in the top five. Now, I have the list here, but I can tell you before I scrolled down, before I knew what the top five were, just my guesses, number one, I would have said L.A. I mean, I'm thinking of this as in my, under my terms. If I was a free agent NFL guy, same money, a variety of places. To me, L.A. and Miami are the two places I'd want to be. I mean, I'm a warm weather guy. I like pretty girls. I like the beach. I like year-round warm weather. These are all things you get in those two places. I mean, to me, and that's one of the reasons I love Tampa, because Tampa has all those things too. It's not quite as glamorous. So I would also put Tampa, if I had to guess. I probably wouldn't guess Tampa would be in the top five just because of the play on the field over the past decade and a half. But just basically looking at all the things, I know players, and if you look around this area, I mean, so many of them live here, and it's not just guys that used to play for the Bucks. We have so many like ex-pro athletes that live here, and they didn't have any ties to the area before. They didn't play for the Bucks or the Rays or the Lightning, but a bunch of those guys are around here. And I don't mean old people either. I'm talking about like younger, just recently retired guys. So I probably would have guessed that that was one of them too. And so looking at the list now, without further ado, number one was Dallas. Of the 15 agents polled, 11 of them had Dallas as one of the top most desirable places. Seattle and Miami were 2 and 3, so I was right on Miami. LA was 4 with 7. Seattle and Miami were actually tied for second. 8 of the 15 said that they'd be top destinations. LA was 4th with 7 of the 15, and Atlanta rounded out the top 5. Now, Atlanta, I should have guessed that one. That's a good one, because that's kind of like, you know, you think of the South where a lot of these guys come from, and that's kind of the mecca of the South. And so Atlanta was there in 5th. Tampa did get responses for most desirable. It got 2 responses. Atlanta with 5 made the top 5, so it would have taken a few more. Others receiving votes, Philadelphia with 4 of the 15 votes. Houston, 4 of the 15. Indianapolis with 3. New England with 3. Really, Indianapolis and New England are the only cold weather places besides Seattle, if you want to count that as a cold weather place. But Seattle, you know, obviously has a lot more with the fan base and, you know, up-and-coming type city, that type of thing. So one agent, when they were talking about Atlanta, said players from the SEC often see Atlanta as the capital of the South. It was described as America's black mecca by another agent. The Rams appeal, said one agent, quote, hot team, new stadium, new facilities. Miami, you know, obviously hot team doesn't apply, but, you know, I'm thinking of this again from if I was an actual NFL player, and I am, I don't know if I should say I'm not proud to say it, because I'm not proud to say it. I'm a competitor. I mean, if you ask anybody that knows me, I mean, I'll play a pickup game of Ultimate Frisbee or a pickup game of basketball or tennis with one of my buddies. And it'll be just cutthroat, like we're smashing rackets, we're just, you know, gritting teeth, cursing. I mean, I'm as competitive as they get. Yet, if you gave me, you know, $20 million or something like that, I have a lot of respect, let's put it this way, I have a lot of respect for the guys that have that competitive edge despite making the kind of type of money they do. Because if you gave me $20 million and we lost like a tough playoff game, I think I'd be okay like an hour later. I'd be like, okay, well, I'm going to go spend, you know, the entire offseason now. I have 4 months off to work out at my own leisure, travel at my own leisure, stay in shape, and if I were single, just collect an assortment of babes over the next 4 months that would rival anything anybody could possibly want. I mean, you know, that would be my mentality as a pro athlete. Like, it would be, and I don't think that would make – I still would try hard. I would train my ass off in the offseason because I'm a fitness guy. I do a lot of training anyway, but – I wouldn't be like, oh, I want to go to New England because they're going to win a ring. I mean, I'd go to Miami or something. I'd just take – I'd go live in Florida or here and have a great lifestyle, you know. To me, again, I'm biased, but being born and raised here, you can't do much better than Tampa, right? I mean, off the field, I know on the field they got some – the uniforms would turn me off, okay? That would be an issue for me. But besides the uniforms, no state income tax – cost of living is low, so, I mean, you can get a nice house. If you're making $20 million or whatever, you don't have to spend that much of it to just get a freaking mansion on the water compared to some places, you know, like L.A. or Miami or something like that. Women are beautiful. This is a young play. I know there's the whole stereotype, oh, old people live there. That's actually not true at all. If you look at the numbers, Hillsborough County and the city of Tampa specifically, it skews younger. I mean, we have a pretty young up-and-coming population here, and so if it was me, I mean, I would have given Tampa more, or I would have thought Tampa would have more than two responses on that list. But again, obviously, given what's happened on the field and organization-wise over the past decade or more, it's a little bit understandable. I was actually, I guess, happy to see us on the list of places that got a couple of positive responses, although out of 15, I would have guessed it'd be more like four or five, enough to get us into the top five. The bottom five probably won't surprise you much. It's Buffalo, Oakland, Cincinnati, Detroit, and Cleveland. Tampa got one vote of the 15 for places that an agent thought maybe guys wouldn't want to go. Jacksonville was higher up in sixth place as far as places no one would want to go. Mainly Rust Belt cities, though. Again, Buffalo, Cincinnati, Detroit, and Cleveland. Oakland, just for their complete haplessness off the field right now, I guess, is the biggest reason. Although Oakland seems like a nice enough place. And Cleveland being on that list, that's probably changing. I think Cleveland, I mean, obviously it's still located where it's located. I've been to Cleveland. It's a nice town. I was there in the summer, of course. Same with Chicago. I mean, Chicago is just one of the best summertime cities in the entire world. It did not make this list. In fact, Chicago was one of the only places that didn't make either the most or least desirable. Nobody named it on either one. But again, being a free agent like that and looking at all the things you look at, I would look for, I guess, what gave me the best chance to play. That'd be my number one thing. People say, oh, he's not afraid of competition. I'm definitely afraid of competition. I'd rather, if I'm a wide receiver and one place has six wide receivers and the other place has two wide receivers, I'm going to the place with two wide receivers because I can play more. That's simple math to me. But as far as, you know, money, state income tax is the only thing that could be different if you're saying all things being equal with money. And then weather, to me, are the three biggest things. That'd be what I'd look for, and just general lifestyle. So it was just an interesting thing to see. And I think Tampa being on that list at all, given our history, is a pretty positive sign that if we can get things right down here, and get an organization that is known around the league reputation-wise as being a solid place, then we'll really be a place people want to come because we already have all the other intangibles. And so, you know, that was the thing about free agency this week. We lost a couple guys, we got a couple guys, but even the couple guys we did get, Perriman, we got him because all of a sudden the Browns got loaded up at receiver, and Perriman was like, well, you know what, I think I'm going to move on. Like, he didn't say, oh, I want to go to Tampa. It was more like, well, I guess I got to go somewhere else. And then Buchanan, same thing. Deion Buchanan actually tweeted out like something. I don't remember the actual tweet. I should have looked it up. But he tweeted something along the lines of, oh, man, you know, it is what it is. I guess I got to do what I got to do. And I was like, well, come on, man. How about, hey, let's go to Tampa. This is going to be fun, you know. But if, whatever. They're here now. I'm sure they're going to play hard. I'm fine with it. But guys should be excited. They should be damn excited to be coming here. And hopefully in the next few years, this organization can make guys believe that this is a place not just that's nice to live, because we know that it is, but that this is a place where your career can take off, where you can come and have a chance to win, and it's something that you want to be a part of. And that's the thing that the Bucs have to change culturally to change that reputation around the league. One other thing I wanted to get to, and this was from a couple weeks ago, I just never got to it, but it's good news on a couple of different fronts. You've got, you know, the rules they've been tweaking every year, trying to make guys safer, trying to reduce injuries and all that stuff. So the numbers are in for this year as far as the new kickoff rules. The new kickoff rules, if you didn't realize, this year there was a few rules involving, you know, how much more of a running start guys could get, how close to the line, either their touch line or the kicking line or whatever it is that people could stand. So they made a few changes that made it, mainly made it more difficult on onside kicks because guys couldn't get a head of steam built up. But the numbers came in, and so concussions were down. And if you like kickoffs still existing, if you want to see kickoffs stick around, this is a positive sign. The NFL said that kickoffs dropped from 20, and this is concussions on kickoffs, not all concussions. Concussions on kickoffs dropped from 20 total in 2017 to just 13 this past season. That's a 35% reduction. According to Jeff Miller, the NFL's executive vice president of health and safety, quote, it seemed to have the result that the competition committee wanted. The kickoff now is not the most dangerous play based on injury rates and concussion rates, as it always has been. It's now the punt, thanks to, I would suppose, the new rule changes. And they said last year, I mean, they literally said out loud, kickoffs have to get safer to save the play from elimination. Like, if we keep getting these concussions on kickoffs, we're going to take kickoffs out of the game. So they took out the wedge blocking. They took off the running start. You know, they used to have no limit on the running start. Then they cut it to 5 yards. And this past year, they put them right there on the ball. And, you know, I don't love the new rules or anything like that, but I do like having kickoffs. And so if this helps keep it around for a little while, then so be it. Now, the American Alliance, or the Alliance of American Football, that's been going on right now, they've been going without kickoffs and without extra points. And for onside kicks, they do, you know, it's 4th and 12 from your own 28, and it's just a regular scrimmage play. And if you get it, you get to stay where you are and keep going. Or if you miss it, the other team takes over where you missed. And I haven't seen a game where that's happened yet. I think it did happen in one of the other games, but their ability to do this and have it not be a big deal. You know, the NFL is using this league, either directly or indirectly, as a chance to test drive ideas that they might want to employ themselves. So seeing how it's working out in the AAF, it doesn't seem to be. I've watched the AAF a little bit. I haven't watched it outside of the first week as much as I thought I might. And there's a lot going on the sports calendar right now. We haven't gotten into the dead of things where there's just nothing. But seeing those games, it hasn't seemed to be like, oh man, this isn't going to work. I think the NFL realizes they can probably get away with this stuff, and maybe they will try to do that down the road, although seeing kickoffs be a little more safe. I tell you what, it does feel weird. Start of the game, do the coin toss, all right, you know, who's receiving, who's kicking, whatever. And then you just run out to the 25-yard line and start the game. That's weird. Like, a football game starts with a kickoff. It feels unnatural any other way to me. And I'm all about safety. I'm all about keeping the game healthy, literally and figuratively. I was always a special teams guy because I was mainly a backup. So I was a wide receiver, but I was a backup wide receiver. But I did kickoff. I did kickoff return. I've done punt. I've done all that stuff at some level of football or another, whether in high school and not at the pro level where it's complete. I'm not trying to pretend like I'm some sort of like voice of experience because I did this in high school, but I've done it in semi-pro football too, which is, you know, the Dunedin Pirates. Go to DunedinPirates.com if you want to play football. And it's physical. I mean, I've gotten hurt a couple times on it. I've gotten hurt on non-special teams plays a couple times, never seriously. But those plays are, I mean, you got guys running full speed both directions sometimes, but certainly in one direction. And when you try to block somebody running full speed and you're not running full speed, it can hurt both of you. I mean, I tore a tricep muscle one time blocking a guy who was running. I was on kickoff return on the front wall, and I turned around to block a guy, and he was sprinting, and I was standing still, and I had my foot planted in the ground, and my arms absorbed the entire force of him running by, and it, you know, slight tear in my tricep muscle. Small stuff like that. And I never had a concussion, but again, the NFL, it's totally different. And these guys in the NFL, they can't let up, you know? I could jog around out there and just not get hurt because I'm playing for fun on a weekend warrior, but these guys will run full speed head first, and they'll put themselves right into you, and you get concussions that way. So maybe the running start cut down has helped, but I do want to see kickoffs still be around. It doesn't feel as natural without kickoffs, and so this is good news. Plus, it's good news that 7 fewer people got a concussion. Of course. Email me if you want to, bobbygameday@yahoo.com, bobbygameday@yahoo.com. And so now our attention is going to turn to the draft. And we've got a few shows, because the draft's not for a month and a half. We've got a few shows. We're going to start getting more draft intensive as the coming shows approach. I didn't do a lot of draft today because it's more about free agency. I will say this, though. You know, you have the draft after free agency. So there's two ways of looking at it. I've said, hey, if you had the free agency after the draft, then you would know more about what you need to do in free agency because of how the draft unfolded. But it's double-sided because, on the other hand, now you've seen free agency, you know what you lost, you know what you got, now you know what you need to draft for, too. Draft's a more long-term thing. Justin made a point on his show that free agency is such a gamble now with the money getting so high that it's actually a safer bet in the draft. It used to feel like the draft was the big risk. Like, oh man, what if we blow this draft pick? It's going to set our franchise back. Now you blow a free agent signing and it screws you with the cap. It screws you with all these things because the money is just so huge. So the Bucks, to me, and again, you're not drafting like you're a player away from the Super Bowl. and I'll get more to it in the coming weeks, but drafting fifth, if they have any chance at all to trade down and get more picks, I would do it. I mean, I would definitely always want to do that. People are talking about Devin White now from LSU. Hey, lost Quan, need a linebacker, take him. I'd pump the brakes on that a little bit if it was me, especially if they do stay at the fifth pick, and we'll talk more about it in the coming shows, but that's not a premium enough position. To me, pass rush always trumps the linebacker spot that high in the draft, and I wouldn't act as if we're trying to do everything we have to do with one pick right now to get over the hump. So, one, I'd amass picks, but two, pass rush, or other options. I wouldn't be that excited about that. I like Devin White. I mean, I'd love to get Devin White. And if they trade down maybe to do a different spot, it's a possibility. But, again, we've got a month and a half. We don't need to go into all that right now. I want to thank the Joes for giving me the chance to be on this website, as always, to put this show in front of all of you guys, the best Bucks fans there are out there, at the best place to get quality Bucks talk. I want to thank Bill Curry Ford, our sponsor. Thanks to all of you. Contact me if you want to. Like I said, BobbyGameDay@yahoo.com, Twitter @BobbyGameDay. I'll be back next week. We can turn our eyes toward the draft. There might be a few other free agent things happening in the meantime. But either way, it's a great sports weekend. You know, we got so much more than football going on right now. We got the NCAA tournament coming up. It's Selection Sunday. I'm fired up for it. The conference tournaments are this weekend. We got the Valspar coming up next week. The Players this weekend. The Lightning and their playoff push. Enjoy it. This is just a fun time of year. And things like this are what get us through those 6 weeks. And then it's all draft all the time after that. So in the meantime, have fun, be safe this weekend, and as always, wherever you are, good morning, good afternoon, good night, and go Bucks.